Blog Talk Radio.
Ephesians 2.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Thank you to the broadcast tonight. Like broadcast tonight, we're here live. It's on Monday, the 20th of July. I know what month I'm in. July. It's hot. It's hot here in the East Coast. It's 100 degrees. It's 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. So we know summer's here, and hopefully this heat wave will kill COVID-19. The virus is going to be dead by tomorrow morning. Amen. Amen, amen. Anyway, I pray all is well with you and your family. I thank all those who called in at 646-668-2636. If you're ready to join the conversation, you can press one on your keypad. We can bring you into the conversation. Share your insights, wisdom, ask any questions. Also, all those who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr. We'd also like to welcome you to listen in tonight. You can always reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. We are on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. Issues Men's Talk on Twitter and on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about faith and obedience. We're going to hopefully we're going to bounce it around here. I got a couple of folks who will come on, hopefully, and share their insights on it. But we're going to talk about faith and obedience. And does our faith produce obedience? Or is our obedience evidence of our faith? Amen. I'm going with prayer. Then we're going to have some information here on our summer reading list. We had another book this week to that. Again, we have some books here. I pray that would be edifying and help encourage you in your faith walk. And they all, like anything else I do here, Issues Christian Men's Talk, we all qualify the scripture as our blueprint, as a chalk line, and we measure everything and every doctrine to the Word of God. So any of the books that I recommend are, how can I say, they're orthodox. They're not going to take you off on a tangent, but they will help you to understand and also give you an insight into who we are as men of God and some of the things that we may need to that might be blind spots for us that the books will point out, and also to encourage us in this Christian walk, because we all dealing with a lot of things. We all been through a lot of things, and also we have more in common than we are different. So just to encourage you, getting a reading list to help deepen your understanding, help us grow spiritually, grow in the knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are all tools to come alongside and help us understand his word. And by orthodox and wise authors. Amen? Amen. Let's open in prayer. Father God, I just say thank you right now, Lord. Father, we thank you for another day. We thank you for this day, first of all, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We made it to another day, Lord God. As the sun prepares to set, Lord God, we just thank you for all that we've been through this day. We thank you for what you've done in our lives, what you taught us, oh God, what we learned, oh God, even if we've the trials, the struggles, God, but yet we have overcome, we endured, and we stayed faithful to you, Lord God. We thank you for our prayers, God, that you answered, oh God. The prayers we prayed this morning, in God, and how you fulfilled them, oh God. The prayers we prayed a year ago, 6 months ago, 30 days ago, last week, oh God. And now, God, we're starting to see manifest. So we thank you for that also, Lord God. Father, we thank you for our families, wives, and children, Lord God. Continue to cover them and bless them, oh God. Every man that's on this line, God, I pray for their families, their wives, their bloodlines, oh God. Those they're connected to by blood and by spirit, God, strengthen and keep them, oh God, and cover them, oh God, in your wisdom, in your grace, and your love. And Father, I pray for the man. I pray for the man who's struggling today, Lord God. I pray for the man who doesn't know you, Lord God. I pray for the man who's struggling in his addiction, struggling in his emotions, struggling in his finances, in his physical body, Lord God. We're praying that, God, you would send, oh my God, your Holy Spirit to minister to them, oh God. Comfort them, oh God, in their times of testing and stress, Lord God. Father, we just say thank you right now, Lord. Thank you, God, for deliverance. Thank you for guidance, direction. Thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, oh God, to redeem us. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, God, that lives within us, that encourages, directs us, and guides us to keep us moving forward, oh God, in the things of God. So, Father, we just say thank you again. Father, again, I thank you, God, for this opportunity to speak, oh God, that the word I speak today would encourage one brother, oh God. If it just would encourage one brother not to give up, to press on and stand, oh God, in your love and in your kindness and stand on your word. Continue to strengthen me and keep me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Well, tonight, again, the book we want to add to our summer reading list here at Issues Christian Men's Talk is The Seven Promises of a Promise Keeper. A lot of folk out there may not remember back in the 90s, mid-90s, Promise Keepers was a men's gathering that was nationwide at the time. They had different conferences in different stadiums. They were filling football stadiums. They were filling arenas and Madison Square Garden and the Verizon Center now. And some of the other venues throughout the country, and was filling with men and practical teaching, guidance, discipleship, and encouraging men in who they were in as men of God and how they were leading their families. If I be honest and say that was the genesis of me coming to the understanding and knowledge of the Word of God and who I was as a man of God, different from the man I was, what God has planned us all to be as men of God. To lead in our homes, to lead as husbands and fathers, God, and also to be able to just lead in community and being part of a church. That was the thing that really anchored me to learn that we all have purpose and God has a plan for us all, and it's not for everyone to be quote-unquote with the titles and leadership in the church, but we all, as men, we need to be part of the local bodies, supporting the pastor, supporting the vision, and being the men of God that he can stand with. Because at the time, you know, churches were, you know, it was a lot of feminine things going on in churches. And at the time, Promise Keepers spoke particularly on that issue and how men in the body of Christ can stand up and just be men. Amen. But anyway, amen. But the title of the book is Seven Promises of a Promise Keeper. I checked. It's on Amazon. So it's still out there. It was originally copyrighted in the 90s. The book I have here was copyrighted in 1990. Wait, let me check. It was in the early 90s when I got this one. I'm flipping. Hold on. This old book is brown. I got to look through here. My copyright date is 1994. Amen. So, but I checked on Amazon. It's still out there. Some of the writers, some of the men who contributed to this book have passed away, and some are still here. Bill Bright, Edward Lewis Cole was one. James Dobson, I think he's still alive. Tony Evans originally was on it. Louis Bilal and Gary Smiley. So there was a lot of authors who contributed to the book. So I encourage that. Add it to your reading list, that wisdom. Again, wisdom that can go from generation to generation and endure over time is wisdom that we can all use. Amen. So I encourage you to reach out and get that book. If you go on the Facebook page, you'll see it there. Also, the link it will be set up where you can go on Amazon and order it and get a copy for yourself. You know, give it away. If you bring it for your men's group, it's a perfect book to start off your men's group in a book reading or a book Bible study or whatever you start your conversation. Amen? Amen. Again, if you're on the line and want to join the conversation, press 1 on your keypad. I see some brothers here. Make sure you're ready before I bring you on. So press 1 on your keypad and join the conversation. Well, tonight, again, like I said, we're going to talk about faith and obedience. And those two things, that it's important for us as men to understand that. And in this walk, let me just say this. In this walk, I understand that we all come to the faith differently. We all come to the faith at different levels of understanding and knowledge. But our common knowledge is knowing that Jesus Christ was Lord, and that we have confessed that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We repented from those sins. We repented from our old life to become accepting Jesus Christ, his free gift of salvation that God has given us through his Son, that now we are servants of God, that he is our Lord and he is our Savior. And that's the important part when we say in the church that sometimes we skip over that part. We say Lord and Savior, but he's Savior and Lord, and then it goes together. You know, a lot of teachings out there about salvation and their lordship, but that's not how it was. That's how it was described in Scripture. That's not the intent. That the disciples decided that Christ was Lord and then were obedient to what he was teaching and what his word was. But tonight, I just wanted to encourage you in some discussion points. And also, as always, to point you back to Scripture, to study for yourself, to get the understanding and the knowledge. And again, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, I don't stand or any of the brothers I bring on to share in the conversations. We don't stand on the pedestal and look down on others. We just want to share and encourage us all that we might grow in the things of God, in the knowledge and understanding of God, and know who we are in Christ Jesus, that we might fulfill the purpose and plan he had for our life. Amen? So if I begin with our faith, we all know faith is the free gift of salvation. It's our faith. It begins without faith, how can we believe God? Without our faith and believing who God says Jesus is, who Jesus said he was, and that we come to the knowledge that we believe. We hear the gospel, and we believe by faith. And that determines our salvation, our eternal salvation of our soul. So our faith is the assurance of our salvation. So we understand that nothing we do can give us salvation, but just our faith in the work that Jesus Christ has done. And believing it. And then from there, we are sanctified into that we grow in the knowledge of him. That's the word I was trying to think of. Justified. We're justified before God through Christ Jesus. So we are saved, but nothing we can do can earn it, and nothing we can do can really lose it. But now we are called to an obedience, and that's the part I wanted to touch on tonight. Because I believe the obedience to the word of God, obedience to the Holy Spirit, that surrender, that submission, that we as men, as sons of God, as children of God, that's the evidence of our faith. How else can we be salt and light? How else can we lead our family? How else can we evangelize? How else can we do the things that God has called us to do in this life, in different seasons of our life, different times of our life, that without obedience, and I think that's very important, that we understand that the word of God, there's a lot of command and instruction that Jesus has given us and that Paul and Peter wrote about on how we are to live as Christians, to live out this life in the midst of the culture today, the culture they lived in, in the culture that we're living in now, and the culture that our children will live in, that we will be salt and light in those cultures and how we walk it out, that we can be identified and be seen as Christians, as different than what society and what culture says, thinks, and does. Amen? Because obedience, and one of the questions I want to ask, and any brothers out there want to join in with me, is must obedience be perfect for one to remain God's child? And I think that's what a struggle that a lot of brothers, a lot of folk would have with. Do they have to be perfect in their obedience? And I would encourage you, to study our word, to study the Old Testament particularly, to understand that it's not about perfection as we see it, as getting everything right, crossing every T, dotting every I, that you have to be perfect in God's sight, that you're going to somehow lose your salvation. Because losing our salvation is not possible. We can't do anything to lose our salvation and separate ourselves from his love, because he is committed to us. But I also want to encourage you to understand that faith is going to be a product. Our faith produces obedience. Because again, if Jesus Christ is our Lord, as Lord, that's just that title, he has ultimate authority over our lives. We surrender all to his will, to the will of God. And that's where we have to understand who we are. That's why sometimes it may be a struggle. Sometimes it may be just the ability of God in all your circumstances and all the issues that we go through. Sometimes we have to abstain from some things. Sometimes we have to change how we want to do things or how we think we should do things. But what does God say about the situation? That's one of the things I've learned over the years that I share with brethren, is that the word of God, the scripture, has the answer for every problem, every issue that we're dealing with. The answer is there in scripture. And that's why we always encourage brothers here at Issue Christian Men's Talk, is to search out your issue in scripture. Search it out. Search it out. Be part of a Bible study. Be part of a time when you're searching what your issues are in scripture. Have people, that's why it's important to have men around you who have the wisdom of God, have the knowledge of scripture, that we can go back to scripture and see where we're going wrong, what we should do next, what should be our next step, and then to renew our minds. Because a lot of it is some of our defaults, even in salvation, quote unquote salvation, some of our default when stuff don't go right, is the default back to who we used to be and how we used to think. I think now it's okay, I can get away with it, and that's not necessarily true. Because sometimes God calls us to persevere and endure over some things and not do what we would normally would have done before. And that's where we have to search out scripture and start to believe God. And again, it's about us as men surrendering to his will. Because our will is strong. If anybody knows, if you are a father or husband, if you're a manager, if you're a supervisor, if you're running your own business, you want people to do things a certain way. Or if you're an employee, there's rules on your job. There's rules and things that you have to do and do it a certain way. They have a vision plan, they have a mission plan. But now, are you willing to submit to what God's plan is for your life? And that's where scripture comes in. And that's where we get to surrender. And we also have the Holy Spirit to be able to guide us and direct us and convict us and get us when we get off course, to get us back on course. So God has made a way and a purpose for us to be able to submit to him, because that's really what obedience is talking about. That evidence of our faith is our obedience to the word of God and to the Holy Spirit, and leads us and guides us. And one thing I just want to ensure everybody out there that's listening, the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you in any circumstance or situation different from the word of God. Okay? Because you can't say that, you were led by God to do something that contradicts his word. And then that's where I always say it's important to have men around you to counsel, to guide you, that you can, sometimes we need other brothers to bounce ideas off, to bounce how we feeling, to encourage us to work with God, to give us the understanding. Even if we read something we don't understand, we're trying to make a decision. But as again, to be leaders in our homes, as we deal with our wives on different circumstances, different things we go through in marriage, how are you going to respond? Are you going to respond like you used to when you was out there with your girlfriends, or are you going to respond differently to your wife? Because your default is, you know, some of us, you know, we didn't put up with much stuff. You know, I can go somewhere else. I can go to someone else's house. I ain't got to stay here and put up with this. But now, as Christian men and Christian husbands, we don't want to do that. All right, I'll give you a minute. Let's sit in right there. Amen. We don't want to go back and do the things we did before, especially when it comes to marriage and our wives and our relationship, because you're going to be challenged. There's going to be different challenges. There's going to be different circumstances, situations. There's going to be struggles. The Word of God should guide and direct us, and the Holy Spirit should, again, are we willing to submit to the Holy Spirit? Are we not going to always necessarily get our way, because God has a bigger plan? I just recently was in a conversation on a marriage discussion, and sometimes you got to understand, in our marriages especially, God is doing something in our marriage that we don't even see, that other people are watching, that God is going to use the union with you and your wife as a couple to strengthen, to encourage somebody else, to show and to be an example. You'd be surprised, you know, no matter what's going on in your marriage, you'd be surprised that your marriage is a sample to somebody you don't even know, who's watching, who's trying to see, trying to understand, how do you do it, what's going on, what do I do? And the other thing we have to understand, too, as married men, some of the things we go through, we're not the only ones going through. I know we're married to different women, but some of the challenges are the same, and how do we respond to them? You know, because, again, if you have those men around you, those married brothers who endured some stuff and understand, they can tell you there's a better option than maybe your first default option to get to the solution of a problem. Because, again, in marriage, there's a lot of challenges, a lot of things that go on that we have to be able to consider, that everybody's not built with it. Everybody's not built to withstand it. Again, we have to have men around us that we can lean on. It's going to encourage us. It's going to uphold us and encourage us and help us get through prayer, through companionship, and through encouragement. Amen? So when we talk about obedience, again, and the Bible shows us that it's our love of Jesus. Again, our obedience comes out of our love of Christ and what he has done for us. We obey him in all things because we love him. And Jesus even said, and I think it was John 14, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So as Christians, we obey in his commandments. We obey in the scripture. We obey in the things that God has given us direction on. You know, for the married brothers out there, you know, it's love your wife as Christ loved the church. You know, there's different translations for that, different paraphrases for that, but are we willing to sacrifice those things and die to self for our wives? Amen? Called to obey the commandments he's put forth. Because, again, we're all going to stand before him and judge this. All the works and the things that we do after salvation, as God gives us guidance and direction, we're going to stand before him and be judged. And he's going to search us. He's going to search our hearts, our motives, our attitudes. Because we can do a lot of good things. We can do, you know, we can be everywhere, do everything. But if our heart and our attitude is not right about it, God is not being honored by it. And that's the thing we have to understand when we talk about obedience. Are we living a life that is honoring to him in our obedience? Because we don't want to stand before him and have Jesus tell us he never knew us. We can say we did a lot of things, but then he'll tell us he never knew us. And that's where the obedience comes. Do we really do what God has called us to do, or we do the easy stuff that looks good to man? And as men of God, we, you know, I always go back to, I want to bring it to practical terms, because we all are in jobs or in school or somewhere, and we know guys or people who do things to look good in front of other people, but when those people are not around, they're totally different. We can't do that with God, but we don't want to come off doing that with God and think we're getting away with something. Because again, I was talking to a brother recently about, you know, the way your character in the church and your character during the rest of the week. Are you the same guy at work, and are you the same guy in the church, in the Bible study? When you're around the saints, are you different at work or different around folk who you don't think believe? Or you still hanging with, you know, your old running buddies, your old company. You know, are you still hanging around with those folk and then you a certain way with them? Because remember, even the apostles had this issue. I believe it was Paul and Peter got into this issue. Let me think a minute. When Peter was acting a certain way around the Gentiles, and then when the Jews showed up from Jerusalem, he started getting all Holy Ghost filled. How many of us are maybe guilty of that or still guilty of that? Because it really doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Sometimes we've been in the church a while, we take stuff for granted, and we get nonchalant about it, and it's all okay. After everybody knows you're a Christian and you go to church, then you just want to be part of, you want to be one of the boys. You don't want to stand separated and segregated and uncompromising. But again, here at Issue Christian Men's Talk, that's the things we just want to encourage you to examine ourselves. We all have to examine ourselves every day, looking in the mirror as you shave, brush your teeth, or whatever. How are you living? Are you living to honor God? Are you living an obedient life before God? Amen? Because if we look at that example of Jesus Christ, he suffered for the will of the Father. He died on the cross for our sins because he knew his mission and he understood his obedience. He fulfilled his duty on why he was born. This, I always said this before. The baby we celebrate on Christmas was the man that died on Easter. So he was born to die for us. Are we willing to be born again and to die for someone else, for the salvation of someone else, or for someone else to hear the gospel? What are we willing to do and sacrifice so that someone else can hear the gospel and live? And that's why I see that metaphor, that for us, what are we doing as Christian men, as the body of Christ? Are we evangelizing? Are we going out? Are we sharing? Are we serving others? Are we serving others in our local churches that they might be in? Because, our pastor always says, you never know what people go through to a Sunday service or a Bible study. But now are we, when they come there, are we have a heart to serve? You know, and during this COVID-19 situation, the churches, are you reaching out to the people in your pew? The people that you know, are you reaching out and encouraging folks? Because everybody, some folk was working, some folks not working. Even some folk are struggling. What are we doing as a church, as a body? I understand a lot of churches now are doing a lot of feeding and they're doing a lot of ministry. But what about the body? Is the body looking out for the body? Or is pride stopping us from looking out for the body? Because we'll go to a sinner and a stranger and think we're doing the work of God. But meanwhile, the church, the folk in the church, our single women in the church, our unemployed in the church are struggling between pride, or we don't want to ask them because we're not in a real fellowship with them. So we don't know they're not working or haven't been working since March. So this is where us as men of God, we have to be in real relationship with one another and with God, and be led and be willing to give of ourselves. So obedience is important. And I believe that if we are connected one to another and we are connected with God, that God is going to speak to us through the Spirit. He's going to give us unction. He's going to let us know when to reach out to, who to reach out to, and how to serve. Again, are we willing to be used by God? But are we so busy with our own agenda that we can't hear from God, and we're too busy when God asks us to do something? When we hear about something and we got to look around, that we might have to cancel our plans to be able to go out and to be able to touch lives. Amen? So, is it our duty? It's important to remember obedience to God is not solely a matter of duty. We obey God because we love God. So, ask yourselves, do we love God? Do you love Christ for what he's done for us? Do you love God as much as God loves you? That he gave his only begotten son for your salvation. So now, do you love him as much to obey him? It's obedience. You know, again, we look at ourselves, we look at our kids. You know, our kids are obedient because when they're young, it's different. When they're young and we're shaping, we're molding, we're mentoring, we're discipling them. But then when they get to a certain age, does their obedience come out of our love, respect, and honor of us? Or their disobedience comes out because of the things that went on. And I understand it's a struggle because, again, and anybody who knows me knows my testimony. I didn't get saved till I was in my mid-30s, and both of my children, the oldest, were already teenagers. So there was a time of transformation. There's a time of changing the temperature of my home, relationship, and now they're all in their, how old are they now? They're in their 30s, in the middle, one's in the early 30s because she's upset. She just turned 30, but anyway. But the relationship changed because I changed. So for anybody out there who's struggling, if you have young children, especially teenagers and those 20-year-olds, their obedience to you is going to come out of their love, respect, and for who, what you've done. And it's the same thing for us with God. We love God because of what he's done, and we remember that he gave his all for us. So now it should be easy for us to love him, and our love brings obedience. Amen? So, again, I just wanted to encourage you that that spirit of obedience is important, is of submission to God, our humility of God, and our gratefulness to God, that we can continue to be pressed in and be obedient to him and be pleasing to him. I mean, how many of us would like to see our children do things that please us? I mean, as fathers, we're ready to jump in there, but I can jump in, you know, let me say it like this. It's easier to defend your child when they're wrong or when they're right, because you're going to defend them either way, to be honest. But when they're right and they've done something right and then you have to defend them, you know, you in there. But then when you know they did wrong, now you have to, you negotiate in the circumstance situation that we try not to, you know, they don't have to get the penalty. We're trying to minimize the penalties of the wrong. But when they're right and they're being persecuted for being right, then we are full power. Sometimes we have to understand that God, too, he has our back, but things that we're doing, is it pleasing to him? And I mean, that's just, you know, that's just how I think about it sometimes, and I just want to encourage you to think about it, how your understanding is on our obedience, that we obey God because we love him, and we want him to bless us. He wants us to encourage us and cover us. And again, I talked earlier about, you know, the superficial or heavily having two lives and two characters, living hypocritical lives. That's one of the things we all have to look out for, because sometimes we slip, or sometimes we forget because we get into a comfortable place. But we have to remember who we are in God and what our purpose is, because we never know when opportunities will come for us to speak a word, to pray, to be able to share a testimony, share the gospel, to evangelize someone. Because, again, you never know what kind of conversations. I found myself in conversations recently about Hebrew Israelites, about the new thing now, that the African Americans are the original Jews. But without biblical knowledge and understanding, you have to be able to come to that conversation. How would you answer that? But the Hebrew Israelites is on the rampage, and this new thing, and the funny thing is, got celebrity Christians talking about the black African Americans or the Africans or somebody are the true Hebrew Jews and all that. But how do you answer that in the confines of our little small world? Not on social media, for those people that you're around who say that and don't know. And how did we dive into that conversation? And are you prepared to get into that conversation? And that's what we are called to do also on a lot of things. So, amen. So today, I don't want to go a little bit off tangent, because that could be a whole another show and discussion. I could bring some brothers in for that one. But just tonight, I just wanted to encourage you in our obedience, that our faith, the evidence of our faith is our obedience to the word of God. And encourage every man out there, every brother out there, every husband, father, and son, to examine yourself in your obedience to the word of God and to God's will in your life. Because he wants good things for us. And he also, again, he has a purpose and a plan. We are all created for purpose and plan. And once we become his child, now he also has a plan for us in the body of Christ to fulfill a purpose in the church, to grow the church, to advance the kingdom, and to live a life that's glorifying to him around others and those who believe. Amen? So I just want to encourage you. Again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and every Saturday and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Amen. I also wanted to encourage and reach out to you to join us on this Saturday, at 9 a.m. We're going to be talking about marriage and the seven needs every wife needs. The seven needs every wife needs to know for their husbands. I'm teaming up with Bishop Etta Banks, and we're going to be talking about marriage there. So I want to encourage you for that. You can call in on this number. You can look on Facebook for the link and be part of that on Saturday mornings. We're going to be talking about marriage and the seven needs seven things a husband needs from his wife. There you go. I got it. I just found it sitting here. Amen. So again, tonight in closing, I just want to encourage the brothers out there. Also, again, I want to let you know about our reading list. If you go on Facebook, if you go on our Facebook page, Issue Christian Men's Talk, and you scan down the timeline, you'll see the other books there. We added a couple other books there for our summer reading list. Hopefully we can get through them this summer, because, to help just encourage and to keep you going. I know a lot of men's groups haven't met recently. I see a couple of men's groups are setting up Zoom meetings and things like that. So I just want to encourage you in that and be part of some of those Zoom meetings. Amen? Amen. Well, we have one brother wanting to come in. Let me bring you in here on the switchboard. Your last four numbers are 1849. Praise the Lord, brother. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Deacon Paul. How you doing today? My name is Brother
Wayne. I'm doing wonderful, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just thank God that today I had the faith to know that I can trust God, because as the word tell me in 1 John 4:4, great is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I base my faith around knowing that God, Holy Spirit, that carries me every day, and that I know that by me having the faith to know that God is greater than me than he that's in the world, and know that the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who strengthened me, as long as I be obedient to the word of God, that he will strengthen me, I be able to do all things through the day. And as you said, with faith and obedience, I know things will be great for me today. I be able to have the strength to do things just by being obedient to God's word, Because if I'm not obedient to God's word, my day gonna be like a trash pile, It ain't gonna be worth nothing, But just having faith in God's word and knowing that he is greater than me than myself. Because I know myself, I would be in the world doing all kinds of sore things. But having faith to trust God and know that his Holy Spirit is greater than me than the things out there in the world. That's a whole lot, So I just want to thank God for that. I thank God for your blog show today, your talk show today. When I seen the message on faith and obedience, I said, wow, I need to listen to that, because that's what I need to hear, that keep my faith and be obedient, And faith is strength. Faith is the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the word said, if God is for you, who can be against you? I know my days, I have faith in the world. I have faith in the drugs. I have faith in chasing women. I have faith in stealing and doing this, that, and that. But when I found the true faith, which was in God, it really turned my life all the way around 360, And today I still have that faith in God, and things are better each and every day in my life, Just by being obedient and reading God's word and studying God's word, researching God's word, having brothers around me, calling brothers, speaking to brothers, talking to some sisters, mentoring some people, it's just great to be able to tell somebody just what you just said. Keep the faith in God and be obedient to God's word and God's laws and commandments, and you'd be surprised how the doors of heaven will open up to you and bless you in strength. It ain't about always trying to get blessed with money and house and car, but bless you with the strength able to see, able to hear, able to walk, you know, and, you know, because it got to be God, you know.
Amen. Amen, bro. Amen. I thank you, bro, for sharing that, because you're right. That's one of the things that we know, that, you know, the blessings of God is more than these material things on this earth. But again, we're gonna leave here, and a lot of stuff a lot of things folk say God blessed them with is just for a season, for a time. I always tell brothers all the time, look at the junkyards. Junkyards is full of God's blessings. People claim there's blessings, but the junkyards are full. You go into Baltimore, people say God blessed them with a home, but I won't pick on Baltimore, but there's a lot of that around in a lot of the inner cities. God bless God. People put God bless on a lot of things that did not endure. But we know that the real blessings of God are eternal and forever. And until we see him again, he'll watch over us. Amen. Amen. So, gentlemen, I just wanted to thank everyone for coming on tonight, and I appreciate it. But understand, if we love God, we will obey him. We won't be perfect in our obedience, but our desire is to submit to the Lord and display good works. And those good works can be a lot of things. We're not saved by our works, but we're saved unto good works, something God wants to use us for. We have to understand that. If God's going to use us in the lives of people, in the lives in the church, the lives of the lost, as we evangelize, as we serve in our communities, he wants to use us for good works on our jobs. He's going to use us for good works in our community. Just because the things we do is because we love God, and we want to glorify him in the things that we do. So we love God, we obey him. And then we naturally have to have a love for one another in the body of Christ. In that love, all my brothers and my sisters in Christ, we have a love for them because we want to look out for one another. We're in true fellowship. We're in koinonia. We're connected with each other. Because the body has many members, and every member has a purpose and a plan. So that obedience to God's commandments will make us salt and light in this dark, sinful world. We are called to be the salt and the light. And the only way we'll be able to do that, persevere and endure, is by obeying his word and being obedient to the Spirit of God. So, brothers, I thank you all for joining me tonight. I ask you to continue to be blessed and continue to pray for me. I continue to pray for you. And just, again, be strengthened, be encouraged. And one thing I just want to share with every brother out there, we have to be very, very important. If you hear nothing else tonight, I want you to know, never give up, never give up, never give up. No matter what you're going through, no matter the challenges of you today, yesterday, last week, tomorrow's a new day. If tonight you're hearing my voice, or whenever you're hearing my voice, that you made it. God has a plan. Don't give up. You never know what's right around the corner, what's going to happen tomorrow when the sun comes up again. Whatever that change is coming, God is working it out, because he's working all things out for our good, for those who love him. Amen? So be encouraged, brothers. Don't give up. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Let us pray. Father God, I just say thank you right now, God. Father, you know the needs of every husband, father, and son out there, God. Father, you know, God, of the prodigals are out there who are lost, and God, you know, God, of the husband who made a mistake, who failed, oh God. You know the marriages, God, that are on rocky roads right now, that are being stretched, oh God, the devil's trying to kill a marriage, Lord God. But God, we stand in the gap for them right now, Lord God. We pray for wives today, oh God, that they might be able to endure and be able to pray for their husbands. We pray for husbands as they endure and pray for their wives. We pray for the children right now, Lord God. For the generations, oh God, that are coming up behind us, oh God, Father, cover them. Let your word be abound in their lives, oh God. Let the word take seed in their hearts, oh God. Even in the midst of turmoil and choices, let them choose you and seek your wisdom and your discernment in all things. Father, continue to protect your church, continue to purge your church, continue to grow your church. And I thank you, God, for what you're doing in my life and the lives of my brothers, oh God, those around us. I pray for the pastors, the elders, the deacons, and those who serve on the front lines and behind the scenes. And I ask that you continue to bless them and watch over their families. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, brothers. We'll be back here Thursday at 8 p.m. God bless.